Appreciate all that. So we're in a series called Little Kevvy's Quest for Magic. That was a magical experience. And in Little Kevvy's Quest for Magic, it could also go under the title of City Church and our community's quest for God, or quest for spirituality, or quest for something within religion and relationships that just transcends and gives us a little bit more hope in this world. And we're all on that quest. You talk to anybody, they're reading a new book, they're watching a new series, they're hoping for some new inspiration from some source to add some magic to their life. And I can agree to that. I'm looking for magic. And within Christianity, within this religion, I'm always looking for those understandings that add insight to our life. So it's called Little Kevvy's Quest for Magic, and we've broken it down into some different thoughts for this series. This week, I'm going to talk about some hard work that leads to a magical experience. Last week, one of our audience, Kate, said, in this life, we are taught to pursue the future and get to that magical point and get to that career, that income level, or that family piece, or that relationship. But magic happens in the moment. That spirituality that's so important, it's in the moment, and you have to live in the moment and be aware of that. And that's real spirituality. One of those moments comes from this, and we're going to talk about fear today. If you could skip forward to our fear slide, Welchy. And here's what we're going to discuss. Identifying and working through our fears. If you do this, I promise a reward. If you do this and go on this journey, I promise something powerful, something magical, something spiritual, something that Christ will identify with you in. Maybe you'll even hear, you'll get a wink from God. The problem is, most of us don't even go through the first part of identifying our fears. I talked with a counselor yesterday, and one of the things he said is that people are in big denial about their fears. They don't want to talk about them. They don't want to discuss them. They don't want to pretend that they're real. But if we go through the journey, the battle of identifying and working through our fears, I think we hit a powerful place in our life, and we find some freedom that can change us. This is something that Jesus spoke of all the time. He talked about fear, and in a few minutes, we'll look at one of Jesus' best friends who said that perfect love casts out fear, and we don't have to live a life of fear and worry. There is a way beyond it. And yet most of us, if we're honest, at least I am paralyzed a lot by fear. Many different fears. And looks like we still got some nonsense taking place up there. All right, guys, we're having church down here. Oh, really? Oh, really? So identifying and working through our fears. Now, if you're like me, it's a little bit embarrassing and humiliating to tell people what you're afraid of or to tell people about the fears in your life. So I'm going to get the ball rolling by sharing a little bit about mine. As I've identified these things, they've brought a magical experience to my life. They've brought freedom. And as I've confessed them to people and asked for help in overcoming my fears, it's changed me. And I've brought them to God and I've brought them to friends. Today I want to focus on how you identify your fears and how you overcome them. So check it out. Here's a couple ideas on fear. Here's some things I think are very big. These are maybe our top three or four fears, if Wes would pay attention. And we'll get to the next slide. First one. This is my number one. Little Kevvy's Quest for Magic. I have to go here. What will others think of me? What will others think of me? And this starts from very shallow places to very depthy places. Shallow. What will people think when I wear this setup of clothes? And how many of you have ever got up in the morning and say, what will my coworkers think about this outfit? And it's bothered you so much that you've switched five or six outfits. This is a cross for guys and ladies. That seems a little bit shallow, but there's other things that are way depthy. What will people think of me if I come out of the closet with this political view? If I quit hiding this belief that I have? If I support this cause? If I'm friends with that person who's not so savory in the community, what will people think of me? So this fear is very broad. It's very big. I have this. I deal with this. I fight through it. But one thing that's become a magical experience for me, a spiritual experience, I've identified it. And it's very difficult. Just admitting this makes me sound kind of shallow. And you're like, no, you're depthy and special. Thank you for sharing that, Kev. Thank you for saying that to me, guys. Through me, you said that. What will others think of me? What will people say about me? What's the word on the street about me? And there's some amazing things that I've worked through to find some solutions here. What if I fail and look foolish? Fear of failure. Fear of failure might be, maybe that's the biggest one in this room. In a minute, I'll let you raise your hand and say, here's the one I relate to, and here's the one I think is huge. What if I fail and look foolish? Which is such a funny thing because we always are supported by a certain group of people that says, even if you fail, I wouldn't call you foolish. I would love you. But we don't believe those words. We live in a religion where the God of our religion says, it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, you're approved of me and I love you. And we don't believe those words. What if I fail and look foolish? This one's brutal because it keeps us from doing great magical things in our life. It keeps us from tasting great tastes and experiencing adventures. This one might be the most heartbreaking. I could never take some time off and travel. Financially, it wouldn't work. You know, what if I can't pay my bills? I could never have a child. I would just fail at it. I'm not going to get back into a relationship. I've just got a steady string of failures. And we miss out. What if I fail and look foolish? I'm not going back to school. No way. I couldn't do it. I don't have enough support. I don't have enough money. I'm going to fail, and then my dad is going to say, see, I told you so. You're still a failure. Whew. Paralyzing. This one, I don't know if this is as big. Number three, it's on the list for a lot of people. I haven't sensed it with you guys as much. Fear of the unknown, the afterlife. In 1 John 4, we'll look at that in a few minutes. There's this group of people, it's this church, and John is sending them letters of encouragement because there's two things going on. One, there's a leader in the community, and he's evil. And he's telling them that God judges them, and God does not approve of them. And he's like, no, that guy doesn't understand God. He doesn't understand Christ. Let me show you what it really looks like. Let me show you what God's true essence is. God is love. That's a direct quote. So he sends them these letters, but then there's also people judging them, and people saying, You guys are foolish. You guys can never be loved. Human acceptance isn't necessary. And he tries to right that wrong also in this letter. One of the things he does to talk about that, he says, judgment from God in the afterlife and judgment from people right now is a fear that a lot of us live through, but let me show you how to get through it. Judgment from God, I want you to know, God is love. He already loves you. He is not a condemner. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to condemn. A lot of people have painted Jesus that way. A lot of religions have, haven't they? They've turned Christianity into a condemning source. So maybe this fear of the afterlife, the fear of unknown, throw death in there. Throw the future in there. This is one of yours. Give me, I showed you my top one. Show me one that you can relate to. And if you're not comfortable, say, I think this one's big in society. But you got to give me a why. So give me your shout out on one of these three. Or add a fourth one in there. And we'll go from here. Chrissy. Are you saying that you have a little secret device where you'll give it a minimal effort and knowing that when the failure happens, you can have an excuse to fall back on? Hey, you know, I tried, guys. I gave it a shot. Wow. Wow. That one's huge. Do you go back and forth in your mind about taking on new tasks, adventures, relationships, whatever? Do you have that? Well, I know the answer. Confess amongst your brethren and sisters. Oh, we should just put that as the fourth category. Interviews and applications, brutal, brutal. And that applies to like relationships too. First date, that's an interview and an application. Frightening, frightening, that's terrifying. Kenny. Fear of being misunderstood. Maybe that kind of hooks up with category number one. Can you give a little more on that one? Fear of being misunderstood. I live in that all the time. I think one of the things that gets us past judgment from people, and we'll talk about this at the end, but one of the things that helps us beat that fear, that what will people think of us, how will people judge us, is that most people don't really have personal feelings towards you. There's a few. I know that sounds kind of depressing, but it's actually very positive. Most people aren't thinking of you personally. Okay, when I'm walking down the street in Bend and I'm rocking my new outfit and I've got this new philosophy on life and I interact with people, most people aren't like, I hate Kevin, da-da-da-da. They're living their lives and just trying to survive. Precisely. And yet, Kenny says, this fear of being misunderstood. I've heard this before, and people have 1,000 times in my office sat down and said, Pastor Kev, these people don't know me. If they could really know me, they'd see how good I am. They'd see that I have stuff to offer. There's just misunderstanding. That's a scary thing. I have these good things to offer. I make mistakes and blunders, but my heart is true, and the fear of being misunderstood. Wow. That keeps us from doing a lot. Butch. Rejection. Yeah, that probably locks in on number two. Rejection, failure. Fear of rejection, I'll be honest, I have that. Being a pastor, being a public figure, oh, can you imagine being a politician? You go out there, and there's some pure politicians out there, there's maybe 1 out of 100, and they get this position, they become senator or president, whatever, and then 75% of the country just writes horrible things about them. And hopefully they're trying to serve and do something good, but they're being rejected by a nation. Oh, and everyone in the public sector gets scrutiny, and someone, you know, they're going to rub someone the wrong way. Brutal. Fear of rejection. This keeps us from relationships. This keeps us from, sometimes it keeps us from church, from God. No matter how many times I report the doctrine of City Church to people, which is God has approved of you already and God has loved you already, there's many people who say, no, I still think God has rejected me. I think God hates me. Right now there's a popular thing, it's called God Hates My Life. And it's just this saying that high schoolers are using, and maybe some of you use it on Facebook too, and some of you, but some of those kiddos add a few expletives in there. God hates my life. But it's true, like people believe that. People believe they are outside of his approval. People believe that I'm too dirty or I've done too much disaster in the past. God has to reject me. And the reason they think that is because people have rejected them. And they believe God's attitude is shown through those rejections in people. Wow, fear of rejection. I think that goes right in there. To step up, put on a nice tie, and go in there and say, I'd like to apply for this job. And they say, no, we don't want you. That's, life is heartbreaking. It's brutal. It's brutal. These fears are real. These fears are legitimate. Does anyone ever connect with somewhere in category 3 or a subcategory of category 3? Is there one in there? Wes? Fear of the future. So are we talking career, finances, romance, all across the board? The unknown. Wow. This is a good one. Yeah, Wes says when he graduated from college, it was right when our economic global meltdown happened. And I could just see his college counselors and directors being like, job fair canceled this year. Why? No jobs. Nightmare. And all these students are like, you know, they're supposed to be pumped up and positive, but they are, we have this new generation who's growing up in recession and growing up in debt and growing up with all these dark clouds. The future is unclear, isn't it? It's not like in like 1997 when the internet was booming and things were getting loose. Kids were like, yeah, we're getting into computers and we're all going to be rich. That's not how college grads are looking today. You have Harvard grads, you have people with master's degrees applying for jobs they never thought they would apply for. Working, you know, housekeepers. No offense if you're a housekeeper. Think about that. That's wild. That's the society we live in. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future. Fear of where our finances are going to come from. Wow. That's wild. That's wild. Another one. Elizabeth? Yeah. This is huge. Living in a constant feeling of my life doesn't have meaning. Elizabeth says that my life has been a failure. I'm not just talking about individual failures, but the whole thing. The whole thing. And maybe the fear is more specifically, will I ever do something good or will it ever get better? Or will anyone ascribe meaning to my life? Will anyone tell me that I was worth it? Some of us have been so blessed to have a voice in our life that says, God says you're worth it, and when you don't feel that from God, I say you're worth it. And I will always be there to tell you that. Some of us have been blessed to always have that. Remember, there's a lot of people who've never had anything close to that. Never been told about value. And so this fear builds up. What if it never clicks? What if it never happens? And I love the story of little Kevi's quest for magic because that reminds us in the moment right now is life. We're too future focused, but in this moment right now, something special can happen. In this moment, you are loved. In this moment, you have a community. In this moment, God approves of you. Don't be so future focused. These are wild. What will others think of me? What if I fail and look foolish? Fear of the unknown. This is what this group in this letter that John wrote in 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he was trying to overcome these things. And he told them there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. He also added right in here, this same section, he says God is love. These people are telling you that you need to fear God and he's going to send you to hell and he's going to torture you and punish you and all these kind of things. They don't know God. God is love. And we understand a little bit about love and we interact in love. God's love is even bigger and sees even better than we do and sees to the heart and the soul even better than we do. Our love is tainted and we have little, I guess you could call them impurities in there. We're not perfect in our love. We try and we've seen some pretty good love on this earth. But John is trying to tell these people, fear is driven out when you start getting love and you start giving love. That's how fear gets driven out. It doesn't get driven out through necessarily better planning or just positive statements. Good, difficult love is what drives out fear. He calls it perfect love. God is love. And that's God, and we ought to be portraying that. One, we ought to understand that God is love. Wrap your minds around that. God is not judgment. God is love. He does judge. He's the perfect judge. One of the things I'm so excited about for the afterlife is the judgment. Now, preachers have said that before, and they're going to go a different direction than I go. But I'm excited about the judgment because here's the thing about this world. I believe there's a great accounting when all is said and done. I like to call it actually the great accounting more than the judgment, even though they're kind of the same. And all the things we thought were unfair in this world and all the things we thought were backwards and all the things we didn't understand and didn't get and the people who got away with this and the people who weren't given what they needed here, maybe the one who didn't get that sense of meaning in this life, the great accounting takes care of that. And the only one who can judge all of humanity, the only one who is all-seeing and all-knowing and all-loving, I think it's going to be a beautiful experience. I think the wicked and the good and everyone is going to have this experience of seeing clearly for the first time. And the perfect judge, the loving judge, is going to bring that love in. And it's a wild thing. And this is what John was trying to encourage these people with. I'll give you a little more context into this story. In those days, just like today, political leaders and whatever this evil leader was with these group of people, with this church, he was trying to control them through fear, right? Fear tactics, fear mongering. It doesn't seem possible, but we are controlled through fear. That's how leaders get our allegiance. That's how they get us. A little bit of what happened to Wesley Welch when he graduated from college. Media, society, leaders said, this world's going straight to hell. The economy's falling apart. So do these three things. Vote for me. Controlled through fear. Pharisees in the Old Testament, New Testament, they would get a group of people together at church and they would say, if you don't dress like us, God does not love you. Could you imagine teaching somebody that? If you don't walk the way I walk, dress the way I walk, God does not love you. Well, I want God to love me. And that's a priest who studied, you know, 6-7 months at rabbi school. He knows what he's talking about. He's got a corner on the market. He's one of the chosen. Fear-mongering, using fear to control. That's what the same thing that was happening here. He was trying to drive these people apart. Jesus doesn't really love you. God doesn't really love you. Everyone around you judges. You're a bunch of gossips who just judge each other. Come to my way of things. But the more courageous, maybe the more appropriate, the more difficult, is perfect love drives out fear. I think that's one of the most amazing things that we were. Let me show you how it works with category number one. Go back to category number one, Wes. For me, what will others think of me? I'm going to walk you through this. This is my experiment. What will others think of me? This is huge. I still deal with this today. I come across as, you know, confident, forest, pretty sprightly. I'm, you know, elfish, magical, all those things. But deep inside, I struggle with insecurity, doubt. And especially, I get done with a conversation with one of you and I walk away, I wonder what they were thinking. You know, did they hear anything I said? Did they try to connect with my soul? Or were they like, Kev, you know, you're 32 now. Quit dressing like a 13-year-old. Kev, and I think these weird things. And I can say this because I know you guys do too. What will others think of me? The first thing that gets me through this fear, the first thing that helps me battle through this, is a core belief that I believe God is love. That's a core belief. I don't know everything about God. I am not the world's expert on God. I can admit that to you humbly. I know you wish I was. If I was, we'd probably have greater attendance, sustainability. I'm not. But the one thing that I always report on, and it's not very sexy and it's not very financially profitable, is that God is love. And I believe that to my core. And that's the number one thing I believe about God. And that's where my beliefs about God starts and my beliefs about God ends. There's some other things in the middle. There's some crazy little technicalities. I got some wild things in there. But that's the beginning. And if I really believe that, what will others think of me? Let's say the creator of the universe, he thinks love. The beginner and the ender thinks love. When you make a mistake, he thinks love. He applies love to my darkness. That's the way I think of it. That's my personal belief. I know many of you are on the same page with that. That's step one. I don't always go in this order, so not in this order, but that's definitely in there. And I got that. I learned that by watching the life of Jesus. Here's another thing, and my wife really helped me with this one. Most things aren't personal. Add that to your fear. Most things aren't personal. When you do get rejected at that job, it's probably not personal. As a matter of fact, I would almost guarantee it. There's an occasion where the person knows you, like if it's your mom who's doing the hiring, that's probably personal, okay? But I wouldn't apply for that job if I were you. But most of the time, it's a complete stranger who's got a stack of 75 applications, or in this economy, 1,000, and you're maybe super qualified. You might be the best candidate, and it's nothing personal. It's kind of random. He woke up in a mood to hire somebody who had red hair today. It's wild. Do you know that people who are not qualified and not right for that job get that job all the time? It's not personal. That's step number two that helps me fire away. People are out living their lives, doing their things, and the people who hire and fire, they have a whole busy circus, nightmare, universal torpedo of a life going on. They're dealing with all that stuff. And they're just trying to make their business run or do their job or get their paycheck. It's probably not personal unless your mom is doing the hiring and firing. Don't get me wrong, there's personal things and attacks that take place in this life, but the majority are not. Is that encouraging any of you like it encourages me? Boom, I'm on to step two and I'm starting to bob and weave a little bit. I'm getting my fighting spirit back. What does God think of me? What do I believe God thinks of me? In counseling and therapy, we have a master of science who's a counselor here, and some of you else who are skilled in that. There's a term called irrational ideas. Yeah, I'm bringing counseling and therapy talking to church. That's a good church that does that. Thanks, Kate. Did you just nod to make me feel comfortable, or do you agree? Okay. One of the things that they teach is irrational ideas. A lot of us believe irrational ideas. Here's an irrational idea. Those people down at Lowe's when I applied, they're out to get me. It's a conspiracy. They hate good-looking sandy blonde hair guys, and they wouldn't hire me. It's a conspiracy. That's an irrational idea. I have to sit down, dwell on that irrational idea, deal with it for a little bit, hear the words of my wife, hear the words of my friends. No, you're so skilled. It's a needle in a haystack right now getting a job in this country. It's tough. There's people with master's degree who applied for that job. They didn't make it either. It's probably not that personal. Wow, that encourages me a little bit. People aren't as focused on us as we think they are. Maybe there's a little bit of narcissism on my part, and it's like, how will the world function without my interaction? How will people get by without the way I flow? No, this is a big, complicated world, and actually, in our country, we're a little bit different than the rest of the world. We're kind of the oddballs out. I like it. I'm proud of our country, but travel the world and see a little bit. Things don't flow like they flow here. The fact that you could go down to Lowe's and put in a job app is pretty cool. Usually, you're a farmer. You don't have any other choice. Your family was farmer for 4,000 generations, and that's what you're going to do. Yeah, game on. Blacksmithery. What will others think of me? I'm trying to sense Creator of the universe loves me. Things really aren't that personal. Here's my third one, and this doesn't apply to everybody, but this is my third step that I go through. I have an amazing cushion of voices in this world that love me and affirm me. I have that cushion. One of the goals of this church and this community is to find that cushion for you. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe you do have that, but you haven't recognized it. There are voices, people voices. This isn't like the invisible God wink voice that we talked about in the last couple weeks. This is actually a true step. There are people who will tell you the truth about that you are worthy, that you are affirmed and loved and approved. There are people who will speak those words to you, not just to blow sunshine, but to tell you the truth. This is my third step. And so when I'm in this phase of feeling judged or feeling insecure or fear is just dominating my life and that's how I'm being controlled, I go to that crew. I don't go to CNN.com or FoxNews.com. Some people go there when they're feeling worried. Oh man, I'm stressing out. What does Fox News and CNN say? Worst possible places to go. Those are money-driven sources that are just trying to make some coin. Go to your cushion. Go to your real voices. I've got a 5-pack. My wife and I were discussing this in the car this weekend. Who's the 5-pack in your life of support? The 5-pack of support. And how do you define that support? 6-pack would be more appropriate, but 5-pack, let's start with that. Yeah, 6-pack, that is not good support. I've been there. 6-pack of wine bottles, been there. It's worse. That's worse than a 6-pack of beer cans. Step 3 for me is I go to those people who speak with a spiritual voice, speak with a magical voice, speak with that voice of Christ, and I speak with them. I hear from them. And there are different types of support. For my wife, it's very straightforward. You know, our lives is an open book and we can really get there. She says the right thing to me. That support is a good voice to listen to. It gets me through almost every time. Then there's other layers of support. And these are people who aren't very good at verbalizing support. I'm a total words affirmation guy. Know that about me. So if you want to encourage me, it's all about words and shoulder rubs. But then there's people different from my wife. She's very articulate and she's telling me these things and she's giving me this approval to get through my fears. Then there's people who just kind of support me with this ethereal presence. I don't know why I'm shaking my hip, but that's kind of how they are. There's this ethereal presence. They're not very good at saying things. As a matter of fact, when they say things to me, it discourages me. I'm like, no, don't talk. Just do your presence thing. Do you have any support like that? Sometimes parents are like that. Sometimes parents are that support. They're there, but they say crazy crap all the time. Sitting with your mom today, no offense. You know, you've had parents. They say some wild stuff, but beyond that you say, but they're still there. Not all the time, but sometimes parents fit that category. Sometimes a brother or sister fits that category. Sometimes a best friend from college. They're not articulate. They can't really encourage you with words, but they're there. Kind of just swaying there in the wind doing their thing. Yeah, Luane, that's great. Those people, you've got them in your support group. Sometimes you just need to be around them. Don't talk, let's just sit by the fire. Do you have that cushion? That's the step 3 that helps me. Then there's other layers of supportive people. And these are some of the people that actually do acts of service or do stuff. Like my dad, here's how he supports me. He's like, son, I love you. Handshake, high five, I don't know. Don't touch too much. Here's $50. And he's just very sterile and very clean, and we're not going to, like, have a full frontal hug and weepiness. But the way of his support is, I take care of my family financially. I try to do it. That's my mission. That's my ministry. That's my service to God. And sometimes I'm like, Dad, I would rather have, like, a hug and a weepy moment than this check. But that's what he does. That's his way of support. And it does help. An extra $50 always helps. Boom, utilities, done. Baby's got a new pair of shoes. It's great. So think about those levels of support. That's step 3. A lot of people don't tap them enough. They don't go to their pastor. They don't, like, you should be able to hit each other up. One thing I say about City Church is you're here because you're here for the people. You're not here for yourself. It's okay to work through some of your issues, but probably my guess is that anybody here, if they said, I need some of that cushion, I need some of that support, I need some long-term help, there's other people in this crowd who'd be like, come into my land. There's some freaky stuff in my land, but I can give you that affirmation. I can help you. We can build that friendship. Step one for me is God is love. And that's a belief. And by the way, not everyone believes that. Some people believe God is judgment first, God is discipline second, God is love three. God is love one, God is love two, God is love three for me. I go there first. I believe it. It's my core doctrine. Number two, things just aren't that personal. This world's way too big for that. This helps me get through. Number three, I check out my cushion. How's the cushion doing? Where are you guys at? I need you. And my way of saying it, I don't really like ask specifically. I'm not like, Jameson, hey man, I need some support right now. Here's four things we need to work on. I'm very like passive aggressive about it. And I'll be like, man, this world sucks. And Burl will be like, do you need some support? And I'll be like, yes, I do. Nice, it worked. I got your attention. Rick, my life partner in the back there, he knows me well enough. He knows when to bring in the support. I've got some other good friends here too who, it's just subtle. Kev hasn't texted in a while. Kev hasn't emailed in a while. He's kind of hunkering down in his home cave. It's time for me to bring over like a pizza, a Star Wars Blu-ray. That's the way they're going to support me. That's my three-part step. I want to hear from you, and we'll close with this. The leader in 1 John 4, he kind of took this process and said, God is love. You'd need to love each other. One thing he says in the letters to 1 John, he said, if you walk by people who are stressed and in need, and you turn your shoulder, and you do not help them, and you do not seek to encourage them, God is not in you. You've heard churches and leaders and people throughout history say, God is not in you if you don't believe these certain things, or if you don't ascribe to our doctrine, or if you don't read your Bible and pray every day, God is not in you. This leader in 1 John says, God is not in you when you turn a cold shoulder to your friend in need, to your community member in need. That's the real test. That's where God's at. That's how God works and flows. So I want to hear from you. How do you fight through the fears? We've heard some of the fears. We've heard the top five categories. If you have a step that's similar to my three, you can elaborate on it a little bit. If you have a new step to throw in there, if you know how to deal with irrational ideas. Somebody told me this week, here's my step. I just tell myself over and over again, this is not true. Kev, you're a failure, you're a failure, you're a failure. So I drive for 30 minutes and say, no, I'm not. This is not true. This is an irrational idea. God does not think I'm a failure. And they just speak it through. I know that sounds like an Oprah 101, but she grabbed onto that because there's some truth to it. You have to deal with irrational ideas in this life. Jesus did it all the time. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that you are? These men are calling you a whore woman. God loves you and doesn't condemn you. These people do. God does not. Get through this irrational idea. So let me hear some of your steps, and we'll close out with encouragement from the gallery. I think for somebody, and James has been sick and he's fought some health issues this year, for somebody to say, I fear death is very vulnerable. Because it's so classic. It's like the number one fear. But to say, I'm scared. I fear death. I don't want to end this life. And I love some of James's battle is he never misses church. He knows being here with this crew is helpful. He says, I go for a walk every day. I sniff the fresh air. And he also said, I try to do the things I want to do. I call that courage. I'm living life and trying to get those things done that I've always wanted to do. The other day, James told me he saw three beautiful pieces of art that were thrown away on the side of the street by a dumpster. And he salvaged them and put them up in his house. And it's just this carpe diem, seize the day, beautiful thing. I love that story. The fear of death. Man, there's some heavy-duty steps to get through that. And if we're all honest, when we get close to that, not saying you're close to that, that's probably pretty frightening. Many times I've sat with people on their deathbed and held them as they passed, and I've seen people terrified and shaking. I've seen people peaceful and calm. Maybe for you that's a fear as well. I like how you're attacking him. Keep it up. Keep up those same steps. I think they're good. I think this group would affirm those are the right steps. And maybe I'll just add one more. Will we all listen to him about it if he wants to chat, open up about that? I think so. If you just want to say, let me blabber on over a sandwich about, I'm kind of scared right now, I'm nervous, maybe someone will listen here. That's good. Jack. Yeah, I agree with Jack 100%. I'm not going to go full on into your doctrine about smoking and cigarettes. But I do agree with him about this. Savoring the moment is so much about overcoming fear. Jesus, he had this teaching, and it was in his Sermon on the Mount, and he says, don't worry about the things of tomorrow. Tomorrow's got a big nightmare of messes on its own. Try to be in this moment a little bit more. He's not saying be foolish with the future and don't plan and don't, you know, spend all your money so your kids are left with, a house that's being foreclosed on. No. He's saying worry can be extinguished when we have this savoring of the moment right now. Be with me right now. That's why Jesus was so much about the moment. He's like, you're my new friend, Dave. Let's have dinner tonight and talk about crazy stuff. And Dave, can I bring a prostitute and a drunk man to just spice it up a little bit? And Dave's like, all right, let's do it. I mean, what's more spice of life than that? I love that about Jesus. And that it was savor the moment. Savor the moment. And maybe that theory about cigarettes is okay. People can't quit because they don't take the time to sit and enjoy that cigarette. I got to wrap my mind around that a little bit. But I get where you're going with that. Yeah, you're just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Luane. It sounds like your step in overcoming that was a lot of, like, self-discussion on irrational ideas. And some of us are able to do that so well. Maybe you're one of those types, Luane, and some of us need to process with somebody else. Some of us would do well just to read through the letters to 1 John. It's all about fear versus love. I read through it 4 or 5 times. I had a good friend who taught this in a Bible study. It's become part of my life. It's one of my favorite sections in the Bible. And the cool thing, it's one of the shortest sections in the Bible. You can blaze through that in just a couple days. But it does reinforce those rational ideas that you don't want to miss out in life. Express love right now. Don't turn your back on people. Those sort of things are good. Give me one more step on overcoming fear, and we'll close with a prayer that I believe can help us. Chrissy. Chrissy says, it's helpful to remember this in your mind. And maybe this is an inspiration from God or just brilliance from Chrissy, which would go back to God and me. Is this moment, this perceived failure, this perceived rejection, this perceived sadness, isn't the definition of my whole life. This is part of the process. This is one little tiny piece. This is one step. Tomorrow brings another step and another step. I will not be defined by this failure, this sickness, this rejection. This is one part of it. One little part of the process. And what's the word you use? Chrissy is a way more positive word than process. This is part of the cultivation. The soil is being turned. I'm being grown and I'm being nurtured and I'm learning a little bit more. It's one little part of the process. I think that's a good thought. I think that's a really good thought. That might be a good step four for me. I get all my steps from you. You turned out to be a good roll of the dice on my part. Let me say a prayer about fear. And just try to focus in on that, and we'll close down for today. God, we bring to you a whole slew of fears. I speak on behalf of this group, and we have hearts of fear. We have souls full of fear. Different things. Will we be loved? Will we get that respect we think we deserve? Will we be misunderstood? Death? Sickness? These were all expressed today, and so we kind of lay these out here. I'm not necessarily asking for a great miraculous healing through our fears, but I'm asking for positive forward movement. Help us work the steps. Work the belief. Work the cushion. Work through irrational ideas. Work hard to find some support in the lives of others. Take a step of courage and ask somebody from City Church, somebody from our coworkers, somebody from our family, if we could speak with them. I know it sounds classic and trite a little bit, but we want courage. We want to be people who make courageous decisions, and it's just our special courage. It doesn't matter what other people think about it, but we know that we're being courageous, and we know that we're stepping out from fear, moving forward, and finding that magic and that freedom that comes from that. Give us inspiration from the church in 1 John who heard good words about the love of God and the love of people. And let us remember that God is love from start to finish. Help us with fear. Amen.